We'll get into our worship this morning. Father, we are thankful to be in this place once again. We are thankful for your presence that is always here. We are thankful, God, we are forever yours as Christians. We thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. We pray for these needs, that you meet these needs, the spoken requests, that you help Mindy, God, as she faces surgery Thursday, you be with her and help her and bring healing to her body. We pray for Teresa, you bring healing to her body. We pray for Miss Dorothy, you bring healing, God, to her body. We pray for Carol's friends, you bring healing to her body. You are the healer and the great physician, and we pray you touch these needs in the name of Jesus. Bless this service. Bless all of our moms. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Our young moms, our older moms, they all need your strength, God, to be the moms you called them to be. And I pray that you give them continued strength to be the mother you've called them. Bless them and bless this service in word and song and all that's done. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we start our worship service, for all of you that are watching, let me tell you how we're doing our drawing. All the moms that are part of this church are already in the pot. I promise. We went through our list. Me and Melanie did it separately, and ours matched. So we're good. And so all the moms are in the pot. If you are not part of this local church, and you're watching right now on Facebook, and you're a mom, I want you to go on there and say, hey, I'm a mom. And Melanie will add a ticket with your name also in the pot. So if you're watching us, you have a chance to win as well, because you're being a part of our service today. And so we appreciate that. So just tag your name on there. And Melanie, when she gets done singing, we'll go look at that and add your name to a ticket and put you in there for the drawing too. And don't be bashful and don't be shy. If you're taking time to be a part of our service today, you deserve to be a part of our drawing if you're a mom. So, and Melanie had actually an idea too. If you want to say how many kids you got while you're doing it, I'm a mom six, I'm a mom three, I'm a mom two, whatever you want to do, that's fine as well. So, we'll do that. So, anyway, are y'all ready to worship? All right.
I do want us to be praying for Allison just because she's due next month, and yes, this is her first baby, and she's already began contractions. Yes. So, us mothers, if you reflect back for just half a second, you can already feel them, can't you? So, let's just pray for Allison for this next month, or however long till this baby Elena comes.
Yes.
That everything will go well, and she will make it through just like the rest of us did with those beautiful contractions.
Yep. Yes. It's Allison's first Mother's Day, so yes. Allison, happy Mother's Day to you as well. So, guys, stand up. Let's worship together.
God of glory. you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three and one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King.
One beautiful song. Thank you, Ashley, for blessing us with that. Oh, the church was born. The Spirit lit the flame, didn't it? Time for our flame to shine, didn't it? Hallelujah. Beautiful. All righty. We are going to be in the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter 8. Talking about, I am forever His. I want you to say that with me. I am forever His. That's good news, isn't it? You might not forever be your husband or wife, but you're forever His. Hallelujah. So we want to definitely remember that. We're going to talk about what Paul said in Romans 8. And I know this is one of Don's favorite parts of the Bible. He talks about Romans 8 all the time. But this is a beautiful passage of Paul talking about our redemption, our grace, how that nothing separates us from Him, no matter what. And I think sometimes we fail to remember who we belong to. We see that when a crisis comes about. We see it when tragedy strikes. We see it when storms come our way, of where our trust really lies. Do I really belong to the Lord, or do I belong to what everybody says I belong to? Am I going to be wavered by what happens against me, or am I going to be grounded in what has happened in me? Am I going to trust God through all things, or am I only going to trust God through some things? If I'm forever His, then I've got to remind myself, God, You are my Father no matter what I go through, no matter what I face, no matter what comes my way, no matter what man does against me, no matter how my situation changes or my circumstance, no matter what I see in front of me, if I know I'm Yours forever, God, You are my Father and I am Your child, and that covenant relationship doesn't change. I'm part of God's covenant relationship. And that covenant covers me every step that I take, every breath that I breathe, every season of my life, all days of my life, through every battle and through every storm, through every victory, through every defeat. I am His and He is mine. And I trust that and I believe that. And I must be grounded in the fact I belong to the Lord. And if I belong to God, my Father has everything I possibly could ever need. Man, my Father has protection. He has provision. He has healing. He has deliverance. He has peace. He has joy. He has hope. He has breakthrough. He has strength. He has wisdom. He has understanding. He has direction. He has discernment. He has everything I could ever need. My God and your God has that. So why do we fail to believe whenever things arise in our life that it's things we don't like to deal with? I still got a dad who can. I've got a Father who is. I've got a King who always will be. He is the same. I've been saying this a lot during the last few weeks. He is the same yesterday. He's the same in the days of the plagues of Egypt. He's the same in the lion's den. He's the same on the war path of Goliath. He's the same in the prison where Joseph was. He is the same where the 10 spies were in the land. He is the same in the ship when the storm came about. He's the same when Lazarus was raised from the dead. He's the same in the upper room when the Holy Ghost filled that place. And he's the same in you right now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of us say, I wish it was like it was in 1965. Well, just bring God with you, because he's the same God of 2020 in this crazy, ridiculous time we're in. He's the same God that he was then. He always will be, and he changes not. And that's who I choose to serve. Hallelujah. If you're at home, you can say amen real loud. Hallelujah. I heard you, Doc. Thank you, Brother Doc, saying amen. I heard you. Hallelujah. Turn me down a little bit, Brandon. I'm probably a little bit loud. I'm sorry. I was having Ashley up for that song. So let's get into scripture here on Romans 8, starting with verse 31. Paul says, what shall we say then? A little bit more volume, I'm sorry. So I can hear me. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, if God is on our side, who can be against us? What this is saying is, if God is on your side, who can possibly defeat us? Who can win? God's more of a guarantee than Tom Brady. I'm just saying. I mean, he's a guaranteed victory in our lives. If God is on our side, there is nothing, no battle, no storm, no plague, no sickness, no disease, nothing that can come against us to destroy us. Because even if we leave this earth, we were not defeated and we were not destroyed, because we are in the arms of a loving God. He doesn't leave us dead. He doesn't leave us in the ground lifeless. He doesn't leave us abandoned in our moment of despair. But he takes our hand and he ushers us in to the next phase of our new eternal life. Let's put it this way. The kingdom of God will one day be our new normal. That's good, ain't it? The kingdom of God will be our new normal. This is not our normal. This is the pangs of life we go through, called fallen state of man, where we battle sickness and disease and poverty and stress and fears. All this stuff attacks us. But if we keep our eyes on the prize of who I belong to, as I journey through all of this muck called life, my eyes are on something that the devil cannot take away, and the devil cannot destroy, and the devil cannot cancel out, because it's already done. Jesus has already died, and he's already risen forevermore, and the tomb cannot be filled again. It's been emptied by the power of a living God. Hallelujah. And that is why we belong to him forever. Hallelujah. If God is on our side, who can be against us? Paul is going to say this: he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Hallelujah. Everybody say all. You're part of that all. You mean Jesus was died for, I'm part of that all? You don't know me, Pastor. I'm a bad, bad man. You know what? God was the man. And he died for you bad, bad men and bad, bad women. And he gave his life for all. How shall he, if he did that, how shall he also not give us, freely give us, all things? You know what Paul is saying? God's got what you need to get you through this life and beyond. He's got all that you need. If you need something from God, you just got to ask. That's what he said, right? Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So it's important that we realize God has in his arsenal all we need in this life to give us what we need. People use the verse, God won't put more on you than you can take, and we hear verses like that. Here's the real truth. God has what you need to get you through what you've got to get through, period. Whatever season you're in, and also he's got enough to get you into the next place we talked about, called the kingdom of God, because his grace is enough. His grace and his mercy is simply enough. And it seals me, it covers me, it secures me until my next step into the kingdom. God's got what you need. If you're at home and even here, I want you to say, God's got what I need. He's got it. Do you believe that he's got what you need? God has got what I need. Whatever that is. I've just got to believe him and ask him to help me, and he will. I love verse 33. Paul is specifically talking about our righteousness here. He says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It ain't the religious idiots, the religious people out there that justify you. Well, if you were really, how do you know you're sanctified? Right, Gail? How do you know you're sanctified? How do you know you're really right? Because I see you do this stuff. And if we're not careful, we let that poison get in our lives. And we begin to doubt our own salvation. If our salvation is based on what somebody else tells us, then Jesus wasn't enough. I believe he was enough. It is Jesus that justifies. It is Jesus says you are righteous. It is Jesus that said you are innocent. It is Jesus said no charge against you. It is Jesus that all charges have been cleared and been canceled, and you have been acquitted, and you are free to go because of the price I paid. We got to be careful we don't let people bring an accusation against us. They don't have that authority. They don't have that right. And more important, the devil comes against us all the time in our mind. He'll come against us and lay that charge against us, and always reminding us of how short we come of achieving that righteousness with God. He always reminds us how bad we are, all the failures we have, all the mistakes that we make, how short we always are falling. And yes, we all are falling short every day. There is no righteousness within our flesh whatsoever, but there is righteousness in Christ who lives inside of us. That's where our justification comes from. Not what we do, but what Jesus did. Hallelujah. It's what happened at Calvary when he uttered those precious words, "It is finished," before he gave up the ghost. What he was saying is, no more do you have to walk around condemned and covered with guilt. It is finished. What you couldn't do, hallelujah, I did it. What you couldn't accomplish, I accomplished it. What you could never go through, I went through, that you could be declared innocent in the eyes of God. A preacher can't absolve your sins. A church can't absolve your sins. Water baptism doesn't absolve your sins. It is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that absolves your sins. Here's what happened. Jesus went into court on Gordon's behalf. And here is Gordon standing here. Come on up here, Gordon. I'll use an example because you look guilty. Come on up. So here's Gordon. Say hey to everybody, Gordon. All right, I am Jesus, because I always play Jesus. You know, I'm the preacher. All right, so I'm Jesus. All right, I need a judge. Let's see here. All right, Rodney, I want you to ask Gordon, how's he plea? How do you plead? And plead the right way, like you really are. All right, Gordon is guilty. Guilty of sin. Guilty of such gutter living, low life, miserable, dark, nasty, dirty stuff. Right, Gordon? All right, I'm Jesus. So the judge says, how you plead? He says, guilty. Here I come. I look at Gordon. I say, Gordon, you are guilty. You have sinned. You've done a lot of bad things. But you know what? I am dismissing your case because I have absolved all of your sins. I've absorbed all your darkness, all of your dirtiness, all the wrath of God was poured upon me on your behalf. Though I did not sin, I took your sin. And so because of that, though you are guilty, and though you should be sentenced to the death penalty by your actions, I have canceled that out. And I love you, and I have forgiven you, and there is no guilt at all upon you, and you are completely, in my eyes, innocent and just and righteous. And you are free to go with no penalty at all. Go, my child. There you go. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And there is Gordon, been declared free. How many times do we teach that in our churches? Or how do we want to keep people condemned and in bondage and in captivity and make them do certain things to feel like they finally have arrived to the grace of God? No. Jesus Christ, everybody listening, I want you to hear this. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes all of us innocent in the eyes of our Father. He paid that price because the Bible says it is God. It is God. It wasn't Judge Rodney or Judge Judy. It was God. It was Judge God, right? That said, I justify you. Make you righteous. He goes on to say, who is he that condemneth? If it is Christ that died and is risen again and is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Angela used the example one time years ago and it stuck with me. And this is exactly what this verse is talking about. I think it was Angela that said this. How the blood of Jesus is like a continual river that continues to flow. Because we've been taught and programmed sometimes that we must confess every individual personal sin day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. Nathan would be in trouble because the trumpet would sound. Didn't have time, God. Sorry. Woo, down I go. We've been programmed that way. Not understanding that when we give our life to Christ and we believe he paid that price for us, that from that point on, he keeps us in the state of righteousness. He keeps us in the state of his grace. He keeps us in the state of holiness. He keeps us in the state of not being condemned or judged. Because Romans 8:1, the very first verse says, all of those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, let's just read it. Verse 1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. No condemnation. So as I'm living my life, I'm covered by that continual blood of Jesus, that forgiveness that keeps me his child. Think about your own natural children. All of our children have done dumb things probably. If they've not done them yet, I promise you they will. Hang on. Oh, mine's grown and perfect. Well, they ain't dead yet. They'll do something stupid. Just hang on. They might go through a 40-year midlife crisis where they go off the hook. I don't know. But they're going to do something stupid. When your kids act a fool, when they do things that disappoint you, they're still your child. They are still have your name. They are still covered by your DNA. They are still covered by the last name of who they belong to. They're still your child. You may deny when people ask you, is that your boy? But really it is. That it really is your boy. That really is your daughter. And though you may sometimes be like, well, they're not making me the most proud, or yeah, that's pretty stupid, or yeah, sorry, Mr. Officer, I know that's the third time you picked them up this week, and I'm really sorry. But you know what? They're still yours. In their good and their bad ways, they're covered by your name and by your DNA. How much more are we the children of God? In our bad, foolish ways, the blood of Jesus is enough to still cover us throughout the time of our life. Because I belong to him. I'm not perfect, but I belong to him. And he loved me, and he still loves me, even in my imperfections. Who shall separate us, Paul says, from the love of Christ? And he goes on this little list of things just to kind of cover things of life. He says, who can separate me from the love of Christ? Can tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Let's get down to verse 37, Brandon. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. I'm a conqueror, not by my own abilities or my own deeds. I'm a conqueror because of the king that lives inside of me. Persecution comes. It doesn't separate me from God. Things come. It doesn't separate me from God. Storms and giants come. My own rebellion sometimes rises up. But it doesn't separate me from who I am in him. Yes, I may be in a place that's not the right place, but I'm still his child. I'm just in a bad place, and I need a father that'll pick me back up and remind me of who I am and who I belong to. That I've not left you, son. I've not forsaken your bad time. I remain steadfast right where you are. Every season of your life, from your uprising to your down sitting, I am there. From the depths of your water to the heights of the mountains, I am there. David said, there's nowhere I can go, whether the heights of heaven or the pit of the grave, where I can escape the presence of God. Hallelujah. He is everywhere in our lives all the time. We serve a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, forever King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because I'm forever his in every moment of my life and every season. Glory to God. That's what Paul is saying. He's reminding those around him, the religious people that don't understand the grace and the price that Jesus paid and what that really meant. Letting them know your righteousness is not in how you read the scrolls. It's not in your almsgiving. It's not in the washing of your hands. It's not in the keeping of the feast. It is in the one that you murdered, that you crucified, that you gave up for a murderer. You gave him up on the cross. This very same Jesus is Lord and Savior of all. And this price that he paid was once and for all and forever for the people in this planet. That is the God that we serve. And he loves us far more than we could ever realize, because we don't love ourselves sometimes. And we say, God, how could you love this? And then we see what God did for Gordon, and we're like, man, you forgave Gordon. If you're watching and you know Gordon in this community, forgave Gordon. God, you forgave GP. And because of that, if you can forgive GP, you can surely forgive me. Hallelujah. And I'm just picking on Gordon. Gordon's a good guy. Verse 38, I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers. See, we're facing that now. Principalities and powers coming against us. Nor things present. Look at this. Nothing going through right now. Or nothing that is to come in the future. Nothing we're going through now and nothing that's going to come ahead of us can separate us from the love of God. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reason that we see people giving themselves away sexually, the reason we see people giving them away with substance abuse, whether that be drugs or alcohol, many of those reasons, not all, but many times it stems back to a sense of not being loved, not being accepted. So we seek these things out to try to find some solitude of peace or love or acceptance. And when we realize that Jesus loves you no matter what you're going through, all of a sudden we recognize, I don't have to stay on this road that I'm on. I do have someone that loves me unconditionally. I do have someone that accepts me unconditionally. Though they've turned away from me, you have not. Though they have forsaken me, you have not. Though they have talked about me, you have not. Though they have left me, you have not. When all else scattered, God, you remain. Just like the woman that committed adultery, when they were all accusing her, and then Jesus simply said these words, you without sin cast the first stone, and one by one they dropped their little rocks and they all walked away. And Jesus picked her up, says, where are your accusers? She says, I have none. And I love what he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. I'm not judging you. I'm not casting judgment on you. I am forgiving you. If we realize how much love, remember, that was a big deal then, because understand, the law was for her to be stoned to death for that. I mean, stoned to death. And that would be a pretty ugly death, wouldn't it, Gordon? I mean, you think about people having rocks and literally beating you, throwing rocks, hitting you until you die. That was the law. That was the Mosaic law, that if you got caught in adultery. Aren't you glad, y'all watching out there and y'all that are here, that law changed? Because half of y'all be dead right now. I'm just saying. I'm just being real, y'all. Thank God that we're not Leviticus no more. Thank God we're in Romans. And here is this woman that should have been stoned to death, but Jesus forgave her, showing a pattern of what was to come, that I'm not come, as John 3:17 says, I did not come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Hallelujah. I love John 3:17. We quote 16 all the time, but 17 is just as powerful. He didn't come to condemn, he came to save. He come to forgive, and he come to love. You are forever his today. I want you to place your faith in him, trust him, and if you don't know him, if you not follow him, if you've not accepted this revelation, say, Lord, open my eyes to see you as you are. Open my ears to hear this word today. Open my heart to receive all you have planned for me today, God, that I can be your child and you can be my father, not just on the good days, but on all my days. Not just when I'm acting right, but when I'm acting a fool. God, you're still my father. And I'm still your child. It's a revelation that doesn't sometimes easily come, because we've been so programmed with works. We've been so programmed with people telling us what we have to do to either get saved or stay saved or not lose your salvation or be holy, not be holy, how to get this, how to get that, instead of just trusting what Jesus did for us one time forevermore. The thief on the cross found great salvation in the last moments of his life as he looked at Jesus. Will you remember me, Lord? Yes. You will be with me in paradise today. You're part of my kingdom as of right now. Boy, he was a bad man. I mean, he was being crucified. He had that was considered capital punishment in that day. He'd done something worth capital punishment, and he's on the cross, yet Jesus looks at him with no reservations and says, yes, you're part of my kingdom as of today. What a beautiful story of love. And that thief on the cross became forever his from that moment on. I bet he could die in peace knowing this isn't it for me. There's something beyond the grave. Oh, there's something beyond the grave for us, church. There's something beyond the grave for God's people. There's something beyond the few years we live on this earth. There's something beyond the pain you're going through and the struggle you're going through. There's something so much further beyond what we are battling right now that when those doors are finally open for each of us and we walk in those doors, we are going to forever be changed and see God as he is. Hallelujah. I cannot wait for that day when the people of God are restored again from the fallen state to the completely restored state. And we will be there one day, because Romans 8 also talks about that earlier in the chapter, about the groaning of the sons of God waiting to come forth. Groaning. I said this a few weeks ago. That's why as we get older, you get a little more what they call homesick. I used to not know what that meant. You know, as a kid, you know, maybe even Sierra's age in her 20s, you know, you're sitting here and you're like, homesick. Well, I ain't home. Yeah, I ain't. What do you mean? All these old people singing in church, I'm just so homesick. What does that mean? But the older you get, you start realizing that this really isn't our home. We're going through, but it's not our home. There's a home that God has created, John 14 says, right? I go prepare a place for you. There's many mansions, many dwelling places I go prepare for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back, receive you into myself, that where I am, there you will be also. So I know my real home's not here. I'm on borrowed time right here. Everything I've got, God just let me borrow. My dog, my cat, my wife, my kids. My house, my yard, my trees, my rose bushes, my garage, my man cave. I got to have a sign that says man cave. Be aware of man cave. That's mine. I like that. I like my garage. But that's not my home. It's going to be a day our eyes are going to open to something we've never seen before. And we're going to all say, we're home. We're home. And all is well again. And all is restored. You are forever his as a child of God. Do not let the devil or anyone else throw an accusation against your life and charge you with a crime that Jesus has already acquitted you of. We are free. Whom the Son has set free, hallelujah, is free indeed. Melanie, still doing tickets? Okay, guys, Facebook Live only. Just to fake, because all you people in the church, your name, make sure I got all, I think all their names are in the pot. You watching Facebook Live, if you are a mother right now, in this moment, in this instant, act quickly. Buy one, get one free. No, I'm sorry. Act quickly, okay? If you're a mom, tag right now. Just go in there and say, hey, I'm a mom. If you're not a church person, if you're not a Living Word person, we know all the Living Word people. If you're not part of Living Word Ministries and you're watching and you're a mom, I know Dina's on there. I don't know if Karina's watching or not. So, okay, comment mom. All you moms that are watching, if you're not a Living Word person, comment mom so we can get a ticket in there before our drawing, because Mel's getting ready to come sing a song for you mothers and we'll do our drawing. We're going to have three mothers win something today. Three moms are going to win. So comment mom and make sure we get you in there because we want to honor you. They're not doing it. Okay, y'all being stubborn. Okay, good. We got one. Thank you, Kelly. We'll give you just a minute to do that before Melanie comes up to do her song. So if you miss out, you miss out. But all of you that are here this morning, I promise, all of you are in the pot. Yeah, all of you are in the pot. Yeah, Nathan, you're in the pot. All right, come on up. I guess that's what we'll do. Because I announced it the early part, and I announced it again just now. So you can bring your phone with you, maybe, just in case you want to add anybody before we draw. You're multitask, you're good. We're We're going to have Mally bless all the mothers. This is kind of her little traditional song she does every year, and I love it. And she may want to talk about it, but this is for all the moms, and it's a beautiful song of what mothers represent. And so I'm always blessed to hear Mally sing this song.
Well, it started out for me in the fire department. I was preparing the song to sing for all the mothers, of course. But my grandmother came, and I sang it to her. And then on her deathbed, I sung it to her, me, my sister, and my niece, and then we sung it for a funeral. So for me, it goes a little bit deeper because it became my song for my grandma. But any mother, this song, I think it just fits it all for all of us.
It out or take it all. Her heart's as soft as feathers, till she weathers stormy skies, and she's a spell of wind. She's broken, but she's a but you'll never keep her down. She's a lover, she's a mother, she's a friend, and she's a wife, and she's a spell. She's a sparrow when she's broken, but she's an eagle when she flies. Oh, bless the Lord. She's an eagle when she's broken, but she's an eagle.
Like a sparrow, but when it comes time to fly, you take flight and you spread your wings, because your children need both of that in you. And I thank God He equipped us with that. If we, you know, our husbands, our fathers, have soft sides to them too, but you need the equal balance of a mother, that she can weather the storm and she can fly when it's time. So thank you all. I'm looking across the mothers that are in here right now, and I know some of your stories, and I know you do both. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Mally, for blessing. Hope you mothers enjoy that song, and we appreciate all of our mothers of Living Word. Y'all are very special. We're going to do a drawing right now. Margie and Nathan, y'all come on up here, too, for get ready for music. And maybe Nathan can do a little drum roll for each drawing for us. So if you bring the tickets up, Mally. Anybody else added? Okay. They got to follow directions. Got to say, I'm a mom. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, David, you want to do our drawing for us? We're going to draw three tickets. And here's what our little prizes are for the mothers. We got three equal gift cards to Hobby Lobby. $25 gift card, Hobby Lobby, for three mothers. Hobby Lobby is open, in case you're wondering. And they were quite filled yesterday.
Yes, they were.
So for those of you that are wondering how many we got at church, not as many as Hobby Lobby, I promise you. All right. We're going to have David. Get over here, David. I can see you in the camera. This is one of our young men of Living Word. This is David Fuller. This is Bill's son. And we're going to let him do the drawing. Can't pick your mama. Draw one name. Just one. You got one ticket? Miss Sharon Brown. Yay, Sharon Brown. This is Mr. Joe's wife. Has won the first ticket. So congratulations, Miss Sharon. Let me do the Powerball shake. I really don't know what that means. Oh, you can do a drum roll, my bad. All right, drum roll, Nathan. Paula Rushing. Yay, Miss Paula Rushing. Won our second gift card. All righty. And we got one more. Oh, I hope I get it. All right, drum roll, Mr. Nathan. Miss LeJune Turner. Oh, Miss LeJune. Is she still watching? Miss LeJune won our other one. So Miss Sharon Brown, Miss LeJune Turner, and Miss Paula Rushing. It's rigged. It is not rigged. So anyway, thank you, Mr. David, for your help. I appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day to all of you guys. We will get these cards mailed to you, okay? So we'll get your mailing address. I've got Sharon's, and I can reach out to Paula and Miss LeJune, get your address, and we'll mail you your card to Hobby Lobby, $25. So happy Mother's Day. All right, we're going to receive our offerings. Let's pray over that this time, and then we'll take up our offering. Father, we thank you for this message, that we are forever yours. We thank you, God, that we've been acquitted of all charges because of the price you paid, that we should not ever let another accusation be placed against us, God. You have set us free. Hallelujah. Thank you that we are free. For every seed that is sown, God, in this local church or through Facebook right now, as people are still supporting us, I pray that you bless their seed in a mighty way. As they're sowed into an eternal kingdom right now, God, they're sowing into a place that has eternal benefits. And we thank you for those that are blessing this church during this time. Bless everything that is sown and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As they sing, those of you here can bring your offering up. Those of you at home, time for you to give your offering as well. We love you very much. great song. Hadn't heard that in a while either. Good job, Marjorie. So glad all of you joined us today, and happy Mother's Day to all of you. I know it's a little different this year, not be able to maybe go to a restaurant and sit down unless you find the exact right spot in the nation that has a restaurant open. And maybe it's worth driving to Georgia today. I don't know. I'm just saying. We're getting pretty desperate right here to get to a restaurant. So I don't know where my emails will take off to. I don't know. We've got the rest of the day, so who knows where we're going to head off to. But anyway, we love you mothers very much. And tune in Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be here. And for some of you that are here on Sunday mornings, we're here on Wednesday nights too. You're welcome to be here with us on Wednesday if you want to come. Hopefully in a couple of weeks, they're supposed to relieve the things. From what I understand, in about two more weeks, they're going to allow, and I put that in quotes, they're going to allow 50 people together in a room. So right now, it's unlimited on outside meetings. I know some of the churches here in town are having outside meetings this morning. You can have as many as you want outside. But thank y'all for those of you who've been coming and supporting us through this time here. It helps me as a pastor to have a few faces to minister in front of than just empty chairs. It makes a big difference, and I appreciate y'all's support very much. Appreciate our musicians, our singers, our security, and all the people that are still here to help make things happen. I appreciate Gordon being an example this morning of a wretched deplorable who Jesus saved. So we appreciate that. Well, let's stand together, y'all. We'll close out in prayer. Fathers, we go our separate ways this beautiful Sunday. We ask for your continued protection, your mercy, and your grace, for travel mercies, God, to keep us and to watch over us. And we know that you will freely give us all things as we need them, as your word says. And I just pray that we'll lean on you, Lord, this week. And things we need, we'll ask you, we'll call upon you, and we know you will show up and put into our lives what we need at that moment. Bless your people. Bless our Living Word family that I love so very, very much. And keep them and watch over them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.